Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is Thursday, which means the first hour will be Military Fitness Radio with my co-host, Nate Morrison, and we have a guest, Nathan Cragg, that's going to be on with us today. It's going to be a continuation of the discussion of the importance of manual labor, and I'm telling you, I said it on this show years ago, the jobs to have 100 years from now will be the landscaper and the brick mason because they live longer. And being seated at a desk is going to be looked at not as a refinement, but in fact an impediment, to our health. So we're going to be talking about that. And then after that, I've got a discussion. I'm going to memorialize someone we just lost from my gym. The guy was an amazing human being, and I feel that it would be remiss of me if I didn't talk about it, especially with me getting older as well. Before we start anything, I have to say thank you to All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports. You can learn more about all their products. Right now, they're giving away a sample pack of six different products, and you pay $5.99 shipping, and you also get a shaker bottle. It's worth like $30. You go to EFXSports.com and sign up for the sample pack. It's really cool stuff, so check that out. And without further delay, if I sound somber today, there's a reason. How you doing, guys?
Doing great. How are you, Carl?
I'm doing good. I am. I'm here.
Yeah.
So, Nate, you're in Colorado now.
I am, yeah. Sitting next to the one and only Coach Nathan Cragg.
How you doing, Nathan Cragg?
Good, yourself?
Good thing nobody calls you Nate, because this would be a confusing interview.
We've had that issue before.
Yeah,
we have to quit.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough to do.
Do you guys ever go out one night and then look at each other and say, "How about I be Nathan tonight?"
It's more like we're both Nathaniels, so we like to mix up the credit cards when you go to dinner.
Yep,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
So you heard my little intro there. I really believe that. I've been saying that for a long time on this show. And anybody who's listened to my show consistently long enough knows that I've said that the jobs of the future will be the ones of manual labor because those people live longer and they're healthier and they're stronger. And that being at a desk is not going to be seen as some sort of perk, but instead a hindrance on your health and your life. When we look at manual labor, doesn't this carry true?
Yeah, it really does. You know, I guess the thing that's very interesting about the gym culture is that, especially over the last, 20 years here, where manual labor's kind of gone the way of the dodo, you know, people are, ultimately, at the end of the day, the gym is a replacement activity for people that don't do manual labor.
Exactly.
They sit at a desk and... Yeah, so they're
But you know what the exception to that is? You can't put, because duration of time is as important as the work that you're doing, and you can't put in 8 to 10 hours a day of hard work at the gym.
That's correct. I mean?
But when it's your livelihood to move heavy stuff, and part of your livelihood is moving heavy stuff. You bear the benefits of that lifestyle. You're actually doing what the human condition was designed to do, endure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and just to tie this in with something that we've talked about a little bit before on the show, where we talked about the three primary domains of human movement. You have locomotion, you have body control, and you have object manipulation. And this is something that's taught, you know, at the first, second, third, fourth grade physical education level, or that's what the teachers are using in their curriculum. Well, when you really look at it, of course, what you're doing is not only are you not getting the time, but you're not doing the rest of it. If you're going to the gym, you're just doing a form of object manipulation, and you're doing a very simple form of object manipulation. I shouldn't hog the mic here. I should probably have Nathan kind of do a little overview of just all the different stuff that goes into living life and doing manual labor that's different than the gym. You want to hit that?
Yeah, jump in there.
Just kind of a background of what I just got back from a deployment, and that deployment was very austere. It was very survival-based. So I actually had a pretty good base coming back home. When I came back on leave, I decided to just do some manual labor work instead of going back to a normal job, just because I felt like doing something to stay busy during leave. So I got into doing some solar installation, some LED installation, things like that. And you just find a lot of things in the gym that are just not applicable to carrying around big, huge panels on a windy roof. It's just not something you do in the gym. So it's kind of a different way of working. I prefer the actual real life movements over gym stuff, even though, and this is something that me and Nate have been researching for a while, is neurotypes. And, you know, mine is a pretty dominant 1B, which means that I like short explosive things, but I also just like doing work. I don't necessarily like being in the gym necessarily as much as playing the sport or doing the work, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't. Yeah. I had Brooks Kubik on this show once, and I said, just the way we have working group dogs, we have working group humans. And in fact, we were selected for, right? Back in, you know, thousands of years ago, women wanted men who were strong and capable, and they could do lots of different things, and that's who they wanted to be driven, driving the genes of their offspring. Today, it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
Not to get like, you know, but it really is. Today, it's like they want wimpy little guys that can barely pick up something because they, you know, they actually want a girlfriend, what they want. But that's a whole different story. I digress. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I mean, that kind of goes into a whole sociology, psychology thing that, you know, maybe one day we dig into.
Yeah, what drives evolution. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it's interesting to note, though, that manual labor in so many people today is so deeply undervalued because they don't understand it, simply because life is so damn good in the United States that nobody understands. You know, if North Korea puts a EMP, you know, over the city of Denver, you know, what happens next is going to be radically different than a bunch of hipster boys and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's, right.
You know, folks that can do things with their hands, you know, they're going to be the kings, so to speak.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So obviously when we talk about, and by the way, we're going to cover pelvic floor follow-up to last week's interview after we do this. And we can go an hour and a half with this interview, so don't worry. Don't feel rushed. Over time, working, this is the key to the type of endurance that really means something, right? This is like people talk about functional strength all the time. This is really functional strength because you can do anything you have to do that you would encounter. There's nothing that you would cower away from. The only things that you would figure out how to achieve, right?
It is, and you have to look at your total amount of work that you're doing. You know, this is what people don't, I wish people understood it more. And we've talked a little bit about this, you know, when we talked about power output, you know, what really matters is your ability to perform work, to have that consistent power output all day long, every single day. And it's one of the things, you know, for example, for me, I've been sitting behind a computer for a long time. Nathan here has been, you know, like you said, deployed for a year in an austere environment and then came back and jumped into the manual labor thing. And so kind of watching me play catch up that's got to be kind of fun. you're watching me sweat my butt off, number one. So I'm sweating my butt off because I'm inefficient. You know, my muscles are having to work harder. My physiology is inefficient, you know, because I haven't been doing this. So Nathan gets to watch me sweat my butt off. Part of that is I'm breathing hard. My heart rate's elevated and all that sort of thing. And these are all markers that'll go down over time. But Nathan, did you, after living out there where you were, did you have any big wake-up calls when you started this?
I wouldn't say that I did, but something that I noticed, and this is very interesting from, you know, just kind of a societal type thing, is a lot of my soldiers started off with, oh, I don't want to fill sandbags. Like, that's a bunch of work. And then after a few weeks, next thing you know, they wanted to fill sandbags. They wanted to do work. They wanted to do physical activity. They wanted to start building things. And you see this shift in personality and mindset and things like that over a period of weeks. And suddenly that survival hardness just becomes something that they crave versus something that's, you know, tiring and something that wears them out.
And Nathan, would you say that's part of maybe that mind-body connection where you're doing things with your hands, you're doing work, and it just kind of stimulates the human mind to, hey, I succeeded at this simple task. I want to do something more complex now, and I enjoy it. I can do it. It doesn't wipe me out anymore. Do you think there's kind of a mind-body connection there?
Yeah, I think there's absolutely something there. And there's also something, I think, just getting movement and that stimulates the brain and it gets things active. And even if you're not necessarily doing something complex, you know, say filling sandbags and throwing them up on the wall, which we did a lot of, you know, it gets the brain going and you just kind of, you get into a flow state. So it's kind of flow and movement where you can kind of open up the brain. You're thinking about stuff, but you're still working at the same time. So there's kind of that flow aspect to it as well.
I was just thinking, I was exactly thinking that people who are attracted to that, they're attracted to that sense of flow. If you're doing something with, you know, some sort of cyclical repetitiveness and the body gets in, it's almost, I mean, it reminds me of almost like if you took the bag away from the guy and you just looked at him, his body, it would look like Tai Chi. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Well, there's another aspect. I just to kind of unpack that a little bit more. I know, and probably your guys doing sandbags might have been the same, but I know when I was farming, you know, logging is too loud. It's all logging is nothing but massive amounts of heavy machinery going all out. But when I was farming, I mean, we used to, you know, you talk about flow. I mean, we used to talk about all kinds of things. I mean, complex political issues, complex science. I mean, not things that you really associate with, you know, farmers, but once you've got the physical movements down and you're efficient at it, now you start exercising the brain and having these big, long, complex conversations about all kinds of things. Is that something that you saw with your soldiers? Or, I mean, they probably just talked about women. I don't know, but, you know, I've done that too. But
no, it did kind of get into that stuff too. And also when, you know, I get into the stay back here with more of the actual construction work, is I find that when you're up on a roof, there's not much else you can think about but not falling off. And so it comes into a real flow state where you have to be focused on the task. You are in the present, which is something that I think most people are missing, is they're not in the present. They're either in the past or they're in the future. They either have anxiety, they have depression, one of the two. But if you are in the moment, like, you can't think of anything else but I have to do this task and not fall off the roof. And so I think there's something to that with getting in that flow state where you're just in that state where you have
You know what it also speaks to, Nathan? Dr. Malin Watfi wrote an amazing book called Of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes. It's a Darwinian view of metabolic disorders. And he said that in order for our activities to shift the way the body handles intake of nutrition, development of certain areas of the brain, is that movement must carry some form of risk, no matter how minute it is. And his book is profound. It's the seminal work that very few people even know about. But he talks about how the peptides in the brain that suppress fear are increased, obviously, with hunger. And so once you are hungry enough to not be afraid of taking the risk of becoming food, you would venture out and you would hunt. And when those peptides are created in the brain, whatever you eat after them is treated completely differently than if you sit on a sofa and eat it while you're watching television. And he talked about the element of risk. And then Ari Hofmeckler wrote
in his last book, The Muscle Gene, he aptly surmised a lot of these ideas from research that was coming out at that point in time. And he's a big proponent of doing things like going down the stairs backwards with kettlebells in your hands. Like, there has to be some amount of risk. And he was right on in his approach to that. Lynn Watfey's book proved it. So what you're talking about is the degree of risk amplifies the benefits of labor.
Yeah, there would definitely be a huge hormonal difference.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I think too, it's something that me and Nate looked at. You know, it's why are guys drawn into military tactical service and things like mm-hmm. that. You know, I think there's something there that you can't find necessarily in the average daily life, with the exception of a few career fields, that stimulates that type of thing.
There's not a lot of 100-story skyscrapers being built anymore. You know?
No, and don't forget, we are selecting for people who don't want to do that stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's an interesting point as well. I think anyone that's read any of anything out of the Price Pottinger Foundation, Dr. Weston Price, or right. Francis Pottinger, Royal Lee, they all talk about how over multiple generations, you really are breeding traits, you're breeding health, you're breeding all kinds of different things. And you know, unfortunately, what's sad is we don't really see it. Our lifespans are so long. You know, they did a lot of this work on cats and other animals that had shorter lifespans, where they could observe this, but within ourselves, we don't look at that fact very well. But I guess it's why, like, you know, in the Midwest, you know, there was always the hardy farming, you know, the farm boys and the farm girls and all that. You know, they came from that very rugged genetic stock.
Good stock. But my father would have called that good stock. People, that my father used to tell me all the time, always remember this, you come from good stock. I never understood what he meant when he said that until I got older.
Well, and within the context of a single human life, you know, if you're looking at 70 years, if you've got, you know, say a farm boy who comes from that good, healthy genetic stock, that rugged genetic stock, and he, you know, marries and has children with someone who's a weakling, has poor health, and so on and so forth, you know, their children are going to have some pretty serious problems, and then their children's children and so on and so forth, unless you turn it around. But, you know, what happens, what you can do with, you know, a few thousand or a few hundred cats over the period of 10 or 20 years,
right,
and observe that, you know, takes us, probably 300 to 700 years. You know,
yeah.
So it's kind of hard.
And Pottinger knew, you're referring to Pottinger's work, and it was brilliant, in fact. Yeah. He actually showed how cats started out all uniform, all the kittens were uniform, and they became mutts after a while, where some of them had white, some of them didn't have white. And it was just from causing nutrient deficiencies in their bodies that changed everything. I want to say one thing before we go into the break. The reality is that women drive evolution. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Daniel, I just forgot his last name. But anyway, the book, The Story of the Human Body, details the evolutionary selection process. And culture drives evolution. And women are antenna for culture. So they select men who they believe are going to endow their offspring with the cultural attributes that are in style at that moment. But time marches on and things change. And the reality is that men pursue, but women choose. And they are the ones that are driving selection. So if we are developing a group of humans today that are ill-equipped for the realities of life, women need to start seeing those things that they don't see as attributes, like somebody who can perform manual labor. We look down at people like, oh, you know, he's a brick mason. He's a carpenter. Those people are going to have good offspring. So women need to change their attitudes about cultural constructs and start selecting men who will give their offspring strength. That's the key to the future of this planet. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad, or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperhumanRadio.net.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then train fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. This is Military Fitness Radio with Nate Morrison and Nathan Craig. We're talking about the contributions to your performance that you gain from manual labor, but also your health and so much more. And it's, you know, it's silly. I'm through the break. I'm thinking we're talking about, you know, this would be like sitting down with ants and going, we want to explain why carrying heavy stuff is really good for you. It's like, because ants don't want to carry heavy stuff anymore, right? You see an ant going down the road with like a French fry on its back, right? You can't even tell why the French fry is moving. You look, there's an ant there, right? It's they're hardwired to do that. We're hardwired to do stuff, but culture has gotten us off course. So what exactly is CAT?
Oh, that stands for combat acrobatics training from Greg Mahovich, and it's mobility. It's human mobility. So when we talk about those three domains of movement, locomotion, body control, and object manipulation, combat acrobatics training is it's body control. It's moving and contorting your body with skill. And actually I'll have Nathan kind of do a little overview, because that's one of the things that like last night we're working, and he's just laughing his butt off about, oh, I did that with just terrible form, didn't I? because nothing in the real world has any correlation with anything you would ever do in the gym. And so you got all these form Nazis. I'm talking over you. You should take up this.
Right.
So
right.
When I'm working on the roof, a lot of times you just have to get in these wild, crazy positions that you will never see anywhere except maybe partially in a yoga position that's also a strength training position that also requires dexterity of the fingers and manipulation with things. Or
if you're dropping a tranny in a 67 Chevelle in front of your house on cinder blocks, you'll find yourself in that position too, and I know.
you're lifting a gate on the back of a trailer, and it's very similar to a clean movement, but it is not, because you have to go at an angle. You have to go off to the side. It's very different than gym positions necessarily. There's not a lot of linear stuff. There's a lot of rotation, a lot more rotation than we ever do.
Well, I just wanted to hit on your clean example there, and it's actually like between a clean and a snatch, where where the disconnect comes is, because think of the word training. I mean, you're training your neurology for something, and this is where a lot of lifters get into so much trouble. So like what Nathan was just saying with picking up a gator, if you look at those low bed trailers that they use to move around heavy equipment, the ramps that they've got on those, I mean, those weigh a couple hundred pounds
right.
a piece. And the thing is like with a deadlift or a clean or a snatch, that weight is coming over your center of gravity and up. Well, that doesn't happen in the real world most of the time. And so in this position, in this instance, you're lifting this gate or ramp and it necessarily goes away from you.
Right.
So you have to follow it. So you have to lift and walk forward or even run while shifting positions, while stabilizing, and all that sort of thing. And like Nathan's saying, you will never find that in the gym. You can't even replicate that in the gym.
Yeah. No.
One thing I also find interesting is, so like in the Marine Corps combat test, they have a ammo can press, which sounds like it's applicable, but then you have to look at, do you ever press it straight in the air? It's generally onto something or to somebody else.
Right.
So again, you're pushing away from your body, not necessarily in the center of line with all your structure. So does that really transfer? I guess you'd have to, I mean, it'll have some transfer, but it's just kind of one of those same things, why not have somebody put it onto something instead of just pressing in the air?
Because you know why, right? Because they're afraid they may hurt their back.
I mean, think about it, right?
Part of this is to not only test these individuals, but not find out that they can't handle it for real. Like, you want to get them out in the field and let them figure that out there,
Yeah.
It's sad.
Well, the more you start digging into this, the more you start uncovering the problems with, for example, training people for military service or even people coming into manual labor. Because you say, okay, well, why is there such a high injury rate for all of this stuff? And it's because they've not gone through a childhood where all of these things are developing. And so, one of the things that we just sort of touched on just lightly was what's going on with your low back, and what is the true role of the core in all of this? Does the core protect the spine? And if so, how or does it? And we can get into that a little bit later at your leisure there, but there's a lot going on there, because like Nathan said, if you're taking ammo cans of 50 caliber ammo or handing a light or a solar panel up to someone or putting your chainsaw up on top of your loader, you know, the way that your body works and whatnot, I don't care what you've done in the gym, you're using a completely different motor pattern now. And if you haven't trained that motor pattern or grown up using that motor pattern, you are at significant risk.
Yeah.
And then, of course, add fatigue to the top of that, and you've got some real problems coming your way.
I want to go ahead and plug Nathan Cragg's website. Now, obviously, you guys are working together. Is militarymultisport.com, that's still part of the process, right?
Yeah, that's mine. That's just my coaching website.
Okay.
That I use. But yeah, let's plug Nathan's.
Yeah, it's just craig.com, C-R-A-double-G, no I. And that's my website right now. Just got some gear reviews. I do some outdoor gear stuff. Just kind of looking at how can we take all of this stuff in the civilian outdoor market and start to transfer that into the military concept. So if you can do your civilian stuff on your off time, can you take those concepts and transfer that into your military application? Some of the clothing works, some of it doesn't. But it gets you in the right mindset. And so it's kind of going that direction.
And I may have spoken over you. It's NathanCragg.com, NathanCragg.com. Beautiful website, yeah. By the way. Is that your backyard in the picture?
That's actually Ouray, Colorado. I went down there about 2 weeks ago and took that picture on a hike.
Yeah, that's gorgeous, man. That's amazing. Okay, so do you want to continue discussing this topic, or do you want to move towards the pelvic issue, the pelvic floor issue that we were talking about?
We could roll into the pelvic and then maybe jump down into the core training stuff and tissue conditioning after.
Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's weave the discussion on the pelvic floor into core and discuss what core is supposed to do, okay?
Cool.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrontil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrontil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrontil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrontil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrontil.
Atrontil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Guess who's back? Age Force is back with a buy one, get one free introductory offer to the Superhuman Radio audience. Choose from any of their amazingly popular patches. Their HGH secretagogue patch, testosterone booster, fat burner, anti-inflammatory patch. All of them buy one, get one free. Nootropic memory enhancer, melatonin and GABA, resveratrol. The list goes on and on. No one, I repeat, no one has the most complete list of patch delivered supplements than Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad today and get buy one, get one free for the entire Superhuman Radio audience. Check it out. Don't wait.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Ketocana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Ketocana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketocana banner ad today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Military Fitness Radio, brought to you by MilitaryMultisport.com. Okay, so we talked about the pelvic floor inadequacies last week, and we're going to go ahead and work that back in now, so that we can discuss core, as you want to talk about its stabilization on the spine and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I think last week there was a little confusion on the part of some people about what it really means when it comes to the pelvic floor. And it's, you know, like Mary and Pat said, it's those 14 muscles under there. And they don't – the thing that gets confusing about the pelvic floor is that they are attached to immovable bones. So there is no joint that they manipulate. What they're doing is kind of more stabilizing and operating sphincters, whether it's the urinary or the colon, the anus. And there's multiple sphincters involved in there. It's kind of controlling how much flex and play that the intestines have. But they don't move anything. That confuses people because it's just attached from, you know, one end of the pelvis to the other, and that's not a movable thing. But that stabilization and the feedback that it gives you is really important. And so I wanted to share something very personal. It's interesting because, you know, we're sitting there when we were doing that show and we're talking about it. I had actually kind of slipped a disc and pulled a muscle in my back. And so I had a great deal of pain when we did that show. And the reason for that is because I've spent the majority of the last many years stationary, seated, not really doing a whole heck of a lot. And I won't get into a lot of the reasons on why. I don't want a pity party going on, but the bottom line is that muscles atrophy, movement patterns get untrained, and so on and so forth. And I was just showing Nathan, you know, I've had a past injury on my left ankle. I had that ankle dislocated. And so I've always favored my right side over my left in things like lunging. And now I'm retraining my body, and I'm finding that there's a lot of things that are coming together, and this whole pelvic floor thing is one of the major keys to it. So you were talking last week a lot about lumbar spine support and issues. And what I can tell you, having had a lumbar spine injury in the last 2 weeks, is that, let's just say, even something like coughing, you cough and you just have this gnarly shooting pain. But if you go to cough and you squeeze and you contract the pelvic floor, there is a stabilization effect, probably a hyperiridiation effect, that firms up and stabilizes the spine. And so now you don't have that pain and it's not a problem. And that actually really helped me to accelerate my recovery from that, because it's been complete. And then I've been working, now, you know, what was it, yesterday or the day before, working with Nathan on doing some LED light installation. I was handling some pallets, and, sure enough, I did something a little silly and I tweaked that same exact area again. Well, what I did immediately was, first of all, I improved my posture and everything that I did, but then I really went back to contracting the pelvic floor muscles. And within within an hour, I had no pain anymore. It had resolved itself. But then coming back to my other original issue, is one of the things that I really realized is I've built my right side, especially in things like rotation and whatnot, to the point where I have a serious muscle imbalance that is setting me up for injury. And so what I started doing is every time that I had to take a knee, I started working on my left side, not my right. And I started rotating anything that I was doing. I would rotate to and from the left, not to and from the right. And that really cleared things up for me, and significantly helped me. So what I'm getting at is that the contribution of the pelvic floor is really profound, and it's difficult to fully understand it until you go and injure yourself a little bit. And then all of a sudden, when you're able to start using the contraction of the pelvic floor, it's really remarkable just how big a role that has in just safeguarding your spine, but also in motor pattern development. So I was just showing Nathan, my reverse lunge on my right side is perfect, and on my left, I can't even do it. My body won't even let me do it without contracting those muscles. And then I'm so imbalanced, my body still wants to turn to the right, not to the left. So I've got some work that I need to do, but you can see the effects of it really starkly.
So will you be able to correct this? Is this correctable, or is this something that you're just going to have to compensate some other way?
No, it's what it is I lost the motor pattern, and I lost the stability on that side. And so what I'm doing now is I'm retraining it, and it is getting better. It absolutely is. I can feel that it'll be okay, but I just need to do this a few thousand times to regain that motor pattern.
You know, I made an observation early on when I started doing this show, and I coined the term occupational hypertrophy.
Mm.
But if you look at the population in shorts, you'll always see a larger right calf, the gastroc especially. And if you look at the quads, you'll always see a greater flare on the left quad. If you've spent any time driving a car, the exception to this rule could be if you're driving a standard shift, and then you may not see the calf development being out of balance. But I came away with this theory because as a kid working on the racetrack, you know, I'd hold a horse for the farrier. I always noticed that his right forearm was like Popeye's forearm, and his left forearm was very, very average. And that's because swinging that ball peen hammer and work, you know, the kind of work he did thousands of times a day, you know, just made him develop differently. And we see this in other areas of life, but it's true. This is kind of like a observation in the same plane that you're talking about. And that is, if we're not using everything, you know, this is a complex vehicle we occupy. And if we're not using everything, then the body naturally diverts resources elsewhere. It goes, oh, well, you're not using this, so we're going to shut the vents off in this room. Why should we air condition this room in the summer? The body does the same thing. It starts shutting things off it doesn't think it needs, so they can focus the resources on what it does. And you end up with something out of balance. But the nice thing to know is that once you recognize it, if you find ways to reactivate those muscles, you can regain it. You can regain, you know, that balance. You know, I think that's the saving grace of the discussion. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it ultimately comes down to, you know, living the way that a human being is supposed to live and operating that way. So it's, if you sit all day, well, human beings weren't meant to sit all day, so stop sitting all day, you know?
Well, I want to ask you a question, something that I've been pondering lately, and I think it kind of fits nicely into this. Let's just take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Military Fitness Radio.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass, vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperhumanRadio.net.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad, or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Military Fitness Radio. We're talking with Nate Morrison and Nathan Cragg. Nathan Cragg's website is NathanCragg, C-R-A-G-G.com. And, of course, Nate Morrison's website is MilitaryMultisport.com. So when we were going into the break, I had a thought. This is actually something that's been in the front of my mind for about a month and a half or so. Being hobbled with my left foot has left me very limited opportunities to do cardio, short of just bicycle riding, you know, stationary bicycle. But that goes away in March because I have my surgery and my foot will be on the mend and I'll be able to run again and everything else. So sitting here at my desk, I'm thinking, surely doing something at your desk while you're sitting, whether it's flexing a certain way, throwing the body into certain positions and flexing muscles, contracting them hard, doing it repetitively. What I like to do is put my elbows down on the armrests of my chair and lift myself out of my seat by activating all the muscles in my shoulder girdle and traps and, I mean, lats and pecs and push my, and I'll do that 50 times here and there. That has to have a value too. Those of us who have no choice at this point in time, that, but to be at a desk, we live with angst. I do. I'm thinking to myself, God, I gotta change the way I do things. I gotta get out of this chair. I know it. And getting up and just walking around isn't practical, for a variety of reasons. And I don't have a cycling or, you know, a treadmill desk set up or even a standing desk at this point in time because there's just so much equipment that would have to go with me. So I do these little movements here, you know. I'll do like the finish of a row and I'll just squeeze and I'll do that 10, 20, 30 times and I get a super pump and my heartbeat picks up. Surely that has to have a value. Shouldn't we be telling people, look, do something at the desk, whatever it is?
So I got a little background on this, Carl, is that I just transferred over to the Warrant Officer Corps a couple of years back. And during that time period, I was sitting for probably 8 to 10 hours a day. And my hips were so bad that I could not do vertical jumps. I couldn't sprint. Running was not very enjoyable. A lot of things that I normally would do, I thought I would never be able to do again. As soon as I got out of that, I was active for 8 to 10 hours a day, which is how I was prior to the school. And basically what I found is that without that constant movement for hours and hours and hours a day, it's just your body just falls apart. At least for me, it was really bad. And I don't know that people notice until they go and do something different. So at least for me, I find that just changing your career field, if possible, or changing the way you do work is probably going to be the biggest benefit. Me and Nate were just talking about, you know, what's the difference between an hour in the gym versus a cross-country skier who has to do 4 hours of work. Otherwise, they're not going to be at the Olympic level or even the national level.
Right.
It's not that there's no value to what you're talking about, Carl. It's just that it's so small. It's so minuscule in the grand scheme of things. And so, you know, for example, it would be better, you know, for example, there's the Pomodoro method of work where, and you can get these little timers that go on your computer, and I love it. I use it, and it's amazing. It counts down for 25 minutes, and then an alarm goes off, and you're forced to take a five-minute break. And during that 5 minutes, you know, I would rather see you go and do, you know, get the combat acrobatics DVDs from Greg Mahovich and do that for 5 minutes. Move, just, you know, move the body as high a complexity as you can find. Throw a little kettlebell work in there with it. You know, it's amazing how much time, you know, 5 minutes really is. But that's going to be a whole heck of a lot better than doing 4, 5, 6 hours and just flexing muscles at the desk, or, you know, that's going to be so much better. And the other thing that does is it really helps you, you know, psychologically as well, because you can only maintain good focus for a short period of time. And they say that you can focus, what, 3 hours straight? Or if you need to go more than 3 hours throughout the day, use the Pomodoro method where you're breaking it up every 25 minutes. And I think after four or five of those, it makes you take a 10 or 15 minute break.
use that, you know, and you know, I mean, really seriously, if mobility is a big problem, like, for example, with you, I mean, you know, and you're getting bored of cycling, I mean, I'm sorry, my friend, but it's time to get in the pool, you know?
Really?
Yeah, 30 minutes of a modified breaststroke. Don't push off the wall, but just, you know, do a modified breaststroke, you know, for laps. You know, that's going to do you so much more good because, like Nathan said, you know, you've got to do the work. And during the break, we were talking about these poor bastards that are so damn confused that want to go into special operations or even infantry or Rangers or something like that. And they're sitting there and they're begging for gym routines and all this sort of thing. It's like, man, one or two hours in the gym does not give you the volume of work that your body needs to go out and then do that job. If you train the way Nathan and I tell you to do, or Sean Visenton, you know, we get this all the time. People go through special forces selection and they call us up and they're mad because it wasn't a challenge. It was so easy. They're upset because they wanted to be challenged. And we haven't done anything special. We just got them to live like a human being for 6 months to a year, sometimes 18 months or 2 years. And then they go in there and they crush it. And, you know, why? Because they did the volume of work. And that's the thing. You've got to get that volume some way, somehow, and you cannot shortcut it, no matter what.
You know, Carl, and for me, that one of the reasons why when I started doing this work when I was on leave and that I kept doing it was because it kept me out of a chair. It kept me moving all day, and that was one of my choices to do that. And not only that, but nowadays, construction actually pays pretty well. It pays better than
Yeah, really. Yeah, because nobody wants to do it anymore. Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, it was more of a lifestyle choice. I wanted to do something because when I was in the gym, you know, training people, I was moving for 6 to 8 hours a day. I wanted to do something that was still active, but, you know, was a little bit more challenging. And not that, you know, training wasn't challenging, but a lot of times you set the program up for, you know, the next 3 weeks, and there's not a whole lot of challenge during the actual session itself. So I wanted to do something that would keep my mind engaged throughout the day. You know, if I'm working electrical, I'm worried about getting zapped by a lot of electricity. So that keeps me focused and it keeps me kind of in the zone. And again, going into that flow state.
Well, at least half the time you're outdoors.
Right.
So
explain something. Explain something to me. If I'm someone who wants to be a candidate for special ops, I'm in the military already, right?
Not necessarily. No.
Really?
These days, I'm trying to think.
You mean you have people coming right off the street and deciding to enlist, and their enlistment point, their on-ramp is special ops?
Yeah, these days you can do that. It used to be only the Air Force and the Navy would let you come off the streets, but now the Army and the Marine Corps will let you as well. And that's where we were just laughing. There's a couple of Facebook groups that we follow occasionally, and I was just telling Nathan, for me, they're so stupid that I had to leave because I can't take the idiocy that I see on these groups where it's just morons discussing what gym routine is the best. And it's all, these groups are all run by people that are quitters, you know, and whatnot. They have no idea what they're talking about. But that's just it. I mean, they're being led astray. It's all these people saying, oh, I'm going to use this gym workout.
So really, it sounds to me that one of the things that you would advise somebody who wants to go into special ops, who feels that they have certain skill sets, is to go out and get a manual labor job and work that for a year.
That's exactly what we were just saying.
While focusing, but looking at the job differently. You know, like we talk about in the gym, right? You have a specific diet that's going to cause a certain result. You get to sleep and you get good sleep. So instead of them being the average construction worker where they go out boozing after work with their buddies, stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and then show up at the job site at 6 o'clock in the morning, mainlining coffee just to be ready, they would actually treat this like they are paying to do it. They would sleep right. They would eat right all day long. And then they would do the manual labor for 8 to 10 hours a day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you could still, you know, you could add in just a quick little, you know, gym routine if you really wanted, but I, you know, it's not necessary. You know, but you know, what we were discussing yesterday and today is just make sure that you're getting your miles, make sure you're doing some running, make sure you're getting that good mobility. And we keep bringing up the cat training, because it is that good. And then you're going to have it. And, you know, as long as if you're doing that and then you can knock out the push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, that are required, and you can run, you know, at least an 8 minute per mile pace, you know, we don't really, this was my reality as well. I mean, I came out, you know, out of farming, logging, heavy construction. I couldn't do, you know, I wasn't maxing out the calisthenics and I was one of the slower runners, but you could beat me all day long and I could just keep going and going. I never slowed down. I never got tired. That is what matters. It's not, you know, well, am I maxing the PT test? No. I mean, maybe EOD school, they'll give you the PT test four times in a row. Why? Just to see how you handle fatigue, you know? So you've got to do something like manual labor, really, honestly, if you're going to really, truly be prepared so that you can just keep repeating what you did over and over again. That's what's important.
Yeah. You know, and for me, Carl, you know, when it comes to the gym stuff, I think everybody has like a part of their body or whatever that they just don't, isn't strong enough naturally mm-hmm. that they have to work on. So for me, it's upper body pressing is typically what I don't get a lot of at work. So I'll make sure that when I do hit my gym session one or twice a week that I get in some type of horizontal pressing. I like to do pull-ups because that stuff you don't necessarily do on the job site. You don't do a lot of that stuff. So I'll get kind of the gaps filled in during my gym sessions, and I might go 2 weeks without a gym session, and my strength does not change whatsoever. I'll come back and have the exact same session without any issues. So that's kind of the advantage of doing the manual labor stuff, and you don't lose a lot in between.
Yeah, perfectly stated.
Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, I know. It just fortifies my belief in what I said, that I started saying a couple of years ago, that the jobs that people will want someday are not the jobs that they want today. And these types of jobs where you're stuck at a desk all day will be viewed as a death sentence. You're not getting paid enough. You know, it's like, it's not going to be good. I also have to commend you. I mean, it's profound advice not to tell people listening to the show who have desires of going into special ops that they have to sign up for your program. But to tell them, no, go out and get a manual labor job for the next year. Work that. Treat it like a sport. Eat right. Sleep right. And leverage what you're going to get from that to go forward. And then obviously they can learn the skill sets from you guys that they need. But that's the training right there. They get paid for it. People you say, I remember I used to say, man, if I could just get paid to train, I'd be so happy. Dude, you ever recommend that these guys get paid to train?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, well, and I'm changing my model as well. I mean, I might as well throw this out there. I mean, I do the remote coaching stuff, but you know, I'm going to kind of pull back on that a good bit because I think what Nathan and I are going to do is just start running training camps in Colorado Springs.
Oh my God!
You can come in and we'll teach you how to run, how to walk, how to ruck march, how to lift, how to do calisthenics, how to swim. But then you're on your own. Go get a job working for Mayflower Moving or something like that, you know, and just apply what we teach you. Because honestly, at the end of the day, I mean, we can give you routines all day long, but, you know, there's so much more. I mean, you know, building the ability to, you know, it's like, okay, you're tired. I got it, but the job has to get done. Well, you know what? That has direct carryover to the military and special operations. You know, the social aspects. It's like, okay, I don't like Bill, but I got to get along with Bill every day. I hate Bill, but damn it, I got to get along with this guy. And maybe somewhere we'll learn to cooperatively coexist and actually maybe even become good friends. That carries over to the military and special ops.
There's also the skill set. So, I mean, if you're working electrical as an apprentice, Yeah. You know, that's going to transfer to life skills down the line. If you're working any kind of construction, you know, you get over to a small base, a small fire base overseas, like, who's going to have the construction experience? It's going to be you. And, you know, I had guys like that on my tour who, when we were building our fighting holes and holes that we lived in, like, they were able to build, like, these luxury palaces with doors and, you know, like, a living room. And
yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
crazy.
Well, there's nothing more infuriating. I mean, I've been overseas where, you know, I mean, I sorry to bag on my fellow operators, but, you know, I've been overseas with, you know, a bunch of barrel-chested freedom fighters, and they're worthless. Why? Because they don't know anything about carpentry or electrical or plumbing or anything. They're just, you know, like, well, I'm a shooter guy. Well, no, man, that's, whoa, hey, you know, there's a lot more stuff that we've got to do, you know, than just be Mr. Shooter guy. The minute you need to build your own camp, I mean, and so, I mean, to me, it's like you're really not a soldier if you don't know how to do these things. Consider for a moment that when the Roman army was on the march, they mm-hmm. stopped, and every night they built a complete fort every night. Think about that
yeah.
for a minute. And,
yeah.
and then compare yourself to that, you know, and say, well, geez, could I do that? 99.999999% couldn't even comprehend how that's done. So you know what? You got some weaknesses to address right there, friends.
You know, it's funny. I want to take a break and come back because there's something else I want to cover here. But I okay. had to go to Israel a couple times on business. And
yeah, I was just
I visited Masada. No, good. Did I cut you off, Nate?
Go ahead.
No, that's not fine. So I was just going to say that's one of the reasons why the guard is always very well receptive overseas, because I have guys that have skill sets in other things.
Right.
Along with, that is the way the fight is moving. It's no longer the GWAT. The GWAT is dead. So the whole big, huge, massive bases that are built by contractors doesn't exist anymore. When I went over there, it was all built by us. There was National Guard units that were engineers that were building most of these bases. And then to improve your position, your living space, was on you. So whatever skill set your team has from the civilian side is what made your life either comfortable or not.
Yeah. And you're right. But it does date back thousands of years, that this mm-hmm. idea that, you know, an army has to be a village. It's got to have skills, and it has to make its path. And the Roman, since you talked about the Romans, I was in Israel on business, and I visited Masada, which is King Herod's
yeah.
Palace that he built on a mountain, because he was always
yep.
suspicious that they were going to kill him in his sleep. So he built this palace, and when the Romans breached that mountaintop, they built a stone path up the side mm-hmm. of a mountain so that the army could march up it and breach the wall. And it's
yeah.
like
1,000 feet.
Yeah, and they fed themselves, and they cooked, and they, you know, they had cattle with them, and it was like a traveling a city. That's what it was, with
yeah.
all the skill sets that you'd find in a city, except it moved. It was mm-hmm. amazing. So
yeah,
I get it. Yeah. I want to take one quick commercial break and come back, and then we'll wrap up the interview. Stay tuned.
Cool.
Back, Age Force is back with a buy one, get one free introductory offer to the Superhuman Radio audience. Choose from any of their amazingly popular patches. Their HGH secretagogue patch, testosterone booster, fat burner, anti-inflammatory patch, all of them buy one, get one free. Nootropic memory enhancer, melatonin and GABA, resveratrol, the list goes on and on. No one, I repeat, no one has the most complete list of patch delivered supplements than Age Force. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Age Force banner ad today and get buy one, get one free for the entire Superhuman Radio audience. Check it out. Don't wait.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Military Fitness Radio. Nate Morrison, Nathan Cragg are on with us, wrapping up this interview. If you are listening live, catch the podcast later. So I have an idea. I mean, this sounds brilliant what you guys are preparing to do there in Colorado. And Colorado is like the best place to do this kind of stuff, right?
That's why we're here.
Well, I mean, you need to go. I don't propose to know anything, right? I'm about to say something you're probably going to think to yourself, you know, this guy doesn't know we know that already. But you need to go to the government. You need to go to the DOD and say, look, man, we're going to be the top of the funnel. We're going to be a feeder, right? They go through our program, and you know you got to qualify. Because right now we know. I did my first show, Nate, I told you, on this topic back in like 2011. I had a guy from Washington, D.C., at the Department of Defense who was over recruiting for the Army, come on the show and talk about the difficulty they were finding, men and women who could actually come in at the entry level to the military. A lot of these people are coming and going, they think that this is going to be a weight loss program for them. They want to join the military so that they get, and it's like, no, I'm sorry, you know, you need to go home and lose that weight first and then come back. And how it's really thin pickings out there with our current status of physical fitness and health in general in this population. So I see you guys going and going, look, you know, help us make this happen. We're going to be we'll be the top of the funnel for you guys.
So Carl, there's something that I've been working on for a while. And so the way I see this going the best way is you have to create a job within the military that is a position that the commander is going to listen to. So when it comes to the government, you have to play by their rules, kind of. So if you can play from the inside, it actually works a little bit better. So when that extends down, you've got this entire program that's, you know, developed around human performance. You've got positions, but then you have the recruiters scouting versus recruiting. And I think that's one of the keys is why aren't our recruiters going to high school football games and saying, hey, bro, like, do you want to go to the Ranger Regiment and have a challenge? Or do you want to sit there and go to college first? And maybe after college, you know, maybe go to the college game. Say, hey, bro, do you want to join Special Forces? Because I see your athletic talent, and we could use you. And I think scouting would probably work much better than recruiting as far as quality goes. As far as volume, it's still going to be hard. They're still going to have to work on, you know, the normal kids that really aren't in great shape, you know, may have some issues with waivers and things like that. But, you know, at the higher levels, if we're looking for special operations, we're looking for infantry, we're looking for mountain infantry, we really need to be scouting versus recruiting, and we should have, you know, a scout at each recruiting station. There's also a lot, there's, I mean, God, this thing's an onion, you know, it's like all the layers that you peel back. And, you know, one of the things that we're fighting, because what you just said, Carl, is something that Nathan and I have been trying to do this for 20 years, and we've received exactly zero support from the DOD, because at some point they don't care. You know, it's to them, I mean, even though they're saying, oh, you know, gosh, you know, we're having all these problems with recruits, this, that, and the other thing, they're not willing to do what needs to be done. They're not willing to have even the right attitude or thought process that goes along with this. It doesn't mean that we're done. It doesn't mean we're giving up. We're not. We're kind of trying to change our tactics a little bit. But, you know, one of the fundamental problems that we have, you know, really goes all the way to the top. Where there's a culture problem that starts with Congress, it starts with the president, it continues to be fostered at the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff level, and a lot of it has to do with, it's just numbers, man, just numbers going in and out, and they don't really care. And we don't have this truly professional army. What we have is numbers, and it's just a grinder. And if you don't make it, we'll find someone else that will. And so there's some really profound problems inherent in all of that need to be overcome culturally before we're able to do that. And that's something that I think that folks like the French Foreign Legion do a hell of a lot better, because they would rather protect their individual culture than have the numbers. And so until we bust that, we're screwed, I think. But, you know,
So the French Foreign Legion is a high echelon military outfit?
I would encourage you to do some research, but they're a former mercenary unit started in, I think, 1831 by the French government, who needed to do something about all these unruly veterans of foreign wars. And so they stuck him in Africa and had, even to this day, the French Foreign Legion does the French government's dirty work. And they actually they got rolled into the French army officially, I think, in 68, when Charles de Gaulle gave Algeria back after the French Foreign Legion had lost just unbelievable numbers of people getting it. So they had snipers in Paris, and they had their airborne units were jocked up, sitting on the tarmac, ready to get in the airplanes to invade France because of this. And de Gaulle's penchant for diplomacy at the last minute in a crisis won over. But they've always had a culture of physicality. I mean, these guys, you know, their standards have always been high. They've always been kind of the creme de la creme physically. But, you know, they also got it. You know, they kept their guys in shape by building dams and roads everywhere they went.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's a very Roman approach to things. But they don't, you know, they would rather have their quality than, you know, you as a number.
you know, so to speak. So.
Yeah, no, I get it. I never knew that about them. That's the first I heard anybody, you know, the French Foreign Legion is always poked fun of in movies and stuff like that. Nathan, you got stepped on. You were about to say something.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I've got, just looking at the leadership that we have now within the military, things are definitely changing very quickly.
Yeah.
The problem is it's a very large organization, so you have organizational inertia. So you're having issues there. You've got just large organization problems are going to take time to transition and shift. So I do see the change starting to happen. It's just going to be slow. So where we would like to see it is probably going to be 30 years down the road. You know, in 10 years, we'll probably have a good chunk, you know, bit out. But they're still kind of overcoming the reality that the recruiting pool is not what it is. So they have to change tactics from all the way from recruiting all the way to how do we train people. So those things, you know, they take time to change. It takes, you know, anywhere from 3 to 10 years just to get a new job authorized within an Army unit. So how do you change all that stuff and get improvements? How do you make programs that are not expensive? You know, what happens when you go down a program and it turns out that the technology that you're looking at turns out to be wrong? You know, skill sets, how do you train, you know, enough people to be able to employ these types of things that are correct versus just like, so you have to look at, you know, how long somebody gets staying. If they're only going to stay in for 4 years on average, then, you know, you have to look at the cost benefit analysis. And that's a lot of the issues with a large organization.
Well, that brings up a few other points on culture is that, you know, there's been a lot of guys, you know, you had asked me a while ago about what, you know, do I train law enforcement and all that? Well, I gave up on law enforcement a long time ago because law enforcement refuses to, you know, do something simple like change their scheduling practices so that the guys can get the training that they need. They refuse to do it. You know, I've been contacted by guys, you know, obviously for the last 20 years from, for example, Special Forces or Navy SEALs or whatever. And even those units, at those high levels, and this is actually becoming a massive, massive, massive problem. They're just running these guys into the ground and they are not giving them the time or the tools to recover or to train properly. They're just running these guys into the ground the exact same way that the police are doing. And so I'm really, frankly, kind of at the point where, you know, if someone says, hey, we really want you to train. I mean, I've had this conversation with a few people. They say, well, this is what we want our guys to be able to do. And I say, okay, well, then this is what it's going to take. And they're like, well, we don't have that kind of time. And I say, well, make the time. And they go, well, we can't. Okay, not my problem. It's definitely your problem. And when you solve that problem, come talk to me. But you cannot shortcut this. And so they're still in the process of going, well, you know, can't we just do this in 20 minutes a day? No, you can do it a minimum of 4 hours a day, not 20 minutes a day. And they just, you know, their eyes glaze over, you know, they have no idea what you're talking about anymore. You're speaking Greek to them, you know, and until they overcome that, there's not a darn thing I can do for them, and neither can anyone else. And if they say they can, they're lying.
You know, Carl, Mark Twite had a good article a couple years back. It was called There's No Free Lunch.
Yeah.
And it was his transformation from doing the high intensity, I can get the shortcut done, to no, I can't, because world champions have been doing this for years, and that was what was found to be the best. And it was found to be the best for a reason, because it works.
Yep.
So I think that's kind of one of the things that you run into a lot of issues where the military is much like a college athlete, in that they have millions and millions of things they have to do every single day, every single month, every single year that they try to cram into. And training just gets put to the side, you know, can we do the minimum and still be okay? And that's generally what it comes down to on everything,
including skills.
I know that I respond much better when I have longer training sessions. And I worked my young adult life with large animals. So, you know, then I went to college, and then I moved to Las Vegas and became reprehensible for about 8 years. But, you know, I'm just thinking about this. I actually came up with this idea that longer training sessions are more important than anything else, but who has the time to put it in? And even though it's not all the different angles and positions, there is a value to making the body work for long periods of time. I felt it myself in the gym. So I know it's true. We are built, and I come back to what I said before. Some of us are working group humans, and we need to work. Just like you buy a Hungarian Vizsla, and you don't hunt with that dog, and you don't let that dog work a field every single day. You have a dog that starts chewing furniture. Why? Because the dog is developing neuroses. They're developing behavioral actions because they're not doing what they're hardwired to do. You take a guy like me and make him sit behind a desk, and all I do is fret about the fact that I'm behind this desk, and I really need to be up and moving around more. And because I respond, I come from a long line of Italian brick masons. I come from you know, pack mules.
Yeah,
and I do better.
Well, so then you know there's another cultural problem in the military. Then, you know, for example, I mean, it's been known forever. And of course, it's one of the reasons why militaries and especially the French Foreign Legion in the past have always done this. You know, the saying is, if you don't keep the men busy, they're going to get in trouble. Well, why? Because they're bored out of their frickin' minds.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you say, okay, well, you know, today, is, you know, they say, well, you know, we're having problem with discipline and crime and this and that and the other thing. Well, you wouldn't have that problem if these guys were building roads all the time. But will they? Oh no, we can't have our precious, you know, soldiers building roads. We'll just yell at them and make more rules for them to violate, and, you know, administratively discharge, you know, the exact kind of guys that you really want and need, simply because you refuse to adopt a true military culture, which is what's needed to keep someone who's supposed to go into battle occupied and satiated psychologically. And physically fit as well and whatnot. So it's, yeah, you know, you can start to see the depth of the problems, and it's the same, no different than that dog or a horse, you know, or
yeah, horses. You know. Look, so when I worked on the racetrack, we had horses that if you didn't train them, if you didn't get them out often enough, if all you did was walk them, they started cribbing.
Yep.
Anybody who knows what cribbing is, right? They grab onto a corner and they suck air into their lungs, and it makes this weird farting noise.
Yeah.
As soon as you start working that horse, because maybe they're laid up, they got buck shins, and we can't do anything with them right now but walk them. As soon as you start doing that, they stop cribbing. They stop doing it. It's like you do it. And humans are the same way, but we refuse to see ourselves like other animals because we're superior. Nonsense. Some of us are wired to do certain things, and when we don't do those things, our lives don't turn out well. Hey, guys, let's plug the two websites again. One is NathanCragg.com, and of course, MilitaryMultisport.com for Nate Morrison. Great show today, guys. Great topic.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. Talk soon. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I got to talk about a guy named Thomas Hahn. We'll be right back.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
There are few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee Eye Drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee Eye Drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoCana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Cana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today. Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes. The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to WildWestNutrition.com or click the banner ad at SuperhumanRadio.net.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. For well over a decade, I've been training at a gym here in Louisville, Kentucky, called Louisville Athletic Club on Westport Road. There's a few of them in the state. I think they even have some in Tennessee. I mean, it's a regional fitness company. And so it's a great gym. It's the best gym in town. You have hardcore trainers there. You have a very nice mix of the middle-of-the-road people, and then you have a very nice mix of the people who come for Pilates and dance-related training. It's just a really, really nice gym. It's got a great environment. They've got a great sauna, free tanning. I mean, I've been getting in the sunbed a lot lately. And I love the gym. It's one of the reasons I look forward to going and training is because of the gym environment, the people that I've known over the years, the friends I've made. And, you know, I was talking to the guy who runs it, Bob Scott, a friend of mine. I said, you know, it's like a congregation there. Everybody knows each other. People are cordial. There's none of the lascivious flirting, meat market feeling of the gym. Women are respected. Men are respected. People are cordial. People support each other when we see somebody that's struggling, you know. If you're standing next to him, you're not going to run across the gym, but, you know, you want me to spot you or just jump in there and get your fingers under the bar for him and he finishes the rep. It's really a great gym. I know so many people there that I spend so much time saying hello to people in the morning. I love it, actually. And one of the guys that was a regular stalwart of the gym was Thomas Hahn. I used to talk to him in the sauna. He was a very quiet man, very to himself, very respectful, very humble. I actually asked him a few years ago to come on the show because if you saw him, you'd know why. I mean, I think he was 67. Back then, he was probably about 64 when I said, come on the show. Because the guy, he just glows. I mean, he handsome, great smile, amazing physique. You could see he was dedicated to the lifestyle. He was lean all the time. Lean and vascular. Genetically, he had a really large rib cage, kind of like my cats did back in the day of pumping iron. And that large upper rib cage made his chest look like a shelf. I mean, he probably had pectoral muscles as big as many of us, but because of that upper rib cage expansion he had, and those of you who've watched Pumping Iron or have seen some of the golden era of bodybuilding pictures from back in the day, Mike Katz had a huge upper rib cage. And, you know, He-Man looking chest. And that's what Thomas had, Tom. He always, at least every time I saw him, he had black high top Chuck Taylors on. He carried a gym bag with him. I never saw him be offended if somebody wanted to work in with him. In fact, Lisa told me a story this morning that, you know, one day he was on a machine and, you know, she said, hey, can I work in with you? And he goes, oh, please do. You know, like a lot of people at the gym, they get pissy if you want to work in with them. They think they're actually leasing the equipment by the hour, I guess, right? And God forbid you just say, hey, while you're resting, can I do a set? Oh, that wasn't him. Always nice. Nice man, quiet man, amazing physique. And so yesterday, both my daughter Sydney and Elisa happened to be at the gym at the same time. Because Elisa has to train after work and Sydney trains after work now. She texts me, she's so cute. I'm at the gym, like she checks in with me. And I'm glad that she feels that way. I want her to love physical culture. And Sydney called me first, and she was kind of out of breath, and she said, this man collapsed at the gym today. And I said, what happened? And she told me the story that the paramedics showed up, and he was still lucid when the paramedics were there, but then he passed out, and then after he passed out, they tried to revive him with CPR. Elisa told me the same story, and I put some of the pieces together. Elisa said that someone went up to him. He was on the leg extension machine, and someone went up to him and said, you know, are you okay? Because he was very pale, like almost white. I said to Elisa, that's dropping blood pressure. And then Elisa said the paramedics got there. They were talking to him, and then they had to put oxygen on him, and they laid him down, and he didn't become conscious again while she was there, at least. And the paramedics were taking him away, I guess. I said, did anybody paddle him? You know, with the electronic defibrillator. I mean, we've got them on all over the gym with instructions. You break the thing, you take it out, boom. You stick the pads here and here, you press the button, you step back, it does everything itself. She said, no, at least not while they were doing CPR. I said, So he still had a pulse. See, because they're not gonna paddle you unless you no longer have a pulse. They go, oh, your heart stopped, we're gonna go for that. So he still had a pulse, but he was non-responsive. And my daughter Sydney, when I spoke to her, she instinctively said, or actually when Elisa spoke to my daughter Sydney, Sydney instinctively said, I wonder if it was an aneurysm. And it looks like that's what it may have been. He had just gotten over a bout of pneumonia, and he was back in the gym like the dedicated human being that he led his life. And maybe just a little too soon, and perhaps there was a little aneurysm starting, and it popped, and most likely what happened was that he kind of just bled out, and he did pass away. And it's very sad. It's very sad. Because this, when you look at this guy, you go, nah, he's not dying for a long, long time. Obviously, this is all speculation on my part. I don't know anything that really happened. I have no inside track. the family will ultimately find out. That these are all my guesses. But I'm just very saddened by it. And the interesting thing about all this is, when I was talking to Bob Scott this morning, the manager of the gym, I said, one of these days it's going to be me, where people go, hey, I haven't seen Carl in a long time. I wonder what happened. You know, the closer you get to the end, the more you realize how fragile life is. And when these kind of things happen, they affect you in a deeper level. What I'd really like to do is to get the gym members all together so that we can all pool a little bit of money and do something as the congregation of LAC Westport Road, for Tom Hahn. I'm talking to Bob Scott about that, and I'm hoping that we can do something like that. I think that would be really great. But yeah, it's kind of sad, man. It's very sad, actually, not just kind of sad, because he was just really a dynamic and wonderful human being, and he's not the ones we need to lose. So, not to sound crass, but anyway, I just wanted to say that. Anybody who's listening to the show locally in Louisville, Kentucky, email me at onair@superhumanradio.net if you would like to take part in doing something to memorialize Tom in a more permanent fashion. We were thinking of a stone somewhere with his name. You know, it would be really cool. Anyway, that's all I've got for today. Thanks to Nate Morrison and Nathan Craig for the discussion on Military Fitness Radio. How do you like that? You want to go into special ops? Work as a construction worker for a while, but take it seriously. Get to sleep early. Get plenty of protein. Take your supplements. And then go apply.